All right, Joe Strandell here, and I am with one of my best friends, Trent Sigurd. He has come up. Actually, he lives around here now, Ventura County, California, and we're enjoying a nice, cool night. Just had a glass of wine at the restaurant next door. And man, Trent, thanks for coming and joining me and having this like podcast. I don't think it will go super long, but we said we'd do an in-person podcast, and now here we are. So thank you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a while coming.
So Trent, you know, everybody knows that you do cinematography, videography, drone footage. I've known you, it's been like 8 years now. And I would say like you're really on top of it as far as the game, as far as like drones, as far as any type of footage going on. How do you do it as far as like, why are you motivated to do this type of art?
Right. So I think I really enjoy just new technology. I heard at a very young age this quote. I forget who it's by. I heard it from Chase Jarvis, and he said, find a parade and get in front of it and be as scream and yell as loud as you can so that that big group of people knows who you are. And so when the drones came around, I saw the potential for putting a camera in the air and just gave it my all. So I sold drones at a company called Dronefly, sold them at I was the guy flying helicopters at a mall during the holiday season. And through there, doors just opened up. And over the last 2 years, I've spent time in China developing different drone systems, and it's been crazy. But I've been learning. It's about following the evolution of the technology. I think people get romantic today, where they say I do this and I do this one thing, and I think that's a really limiting thing these days.
Right. People get romantic about ideas, and you mentioned the development of technology and like how it seems like you've ridden out this wave. And I do want to touch on relationships, because like we were talking a lot about it offline with the relationships, like everyone, you know, where does, when it comes to monogamy or all these crazy things that happen, you see these days, like, where are we at? You know, like, I think it was very traditional for people to get married and have a family and stuff. Like, is that still what's happening today?
Right. Well, I think we have to step back and look at kind of the grand scheme of things. So we have only been living this type of life for maybe 200 years since the Industrial Revolution. And I think that that's a huge thing. And in the grand scheme of the world of time, 200 years is nothing. But how technology is changing at an exponential rate, I think is really exciting. And I can't wait to see, you know, I saw the first iPhone come out. I was in middle school. And then, you know, it's been 10 years this year. And it's been amazing to watch at least technology evolve. And I think as we start integrating more technology and technology starts opening up more doors into the different types of experiences we want to live in our lives, that we'll start using those technologies to really optimize our life to exactly what we want.
Right. Mentioning technology, like I've been on Twitter lately and seeing how trends come and go, and like, it's in our favor to fight for attention, like to seek, like what I call like hot tweets, like posting, you know. And so like in the past 2 weeks or so, I've gotten like 500,000 impressions. Like people have seen my tweets just because I've taken advantage of like, and it's sad to say, opportunities like the Las Vegas shootings, you know, but even like Star Wars trailer was announced last night. And like, what is our goal with technology and some of these trends in social media? Like, what do you see as far as like what Trent Sigurd does? Like, how do you strategize a plan that works for you as far as fighting for attention in your business and doing things at work.
Right. Well, I think that there's a lot of, before I start saying anything that I believe, I have to give credit to the people who I've learned to. And I think that there's a really great community of people online who want to share the information on how to optimize your business and how to stick out in a 21st century world. I mean, there's so much noise out there. And so I think, at least for me and what I've been doing, it's been at least two things. It's been really sharing stories that connect people on a way that they're not used to being engaged with on social. And it's also just being real. I think there's a lot of people who kind of front. I think about it in a primal way. So, you know, with the way that animals evolve, you know, in some instance, like a bird, you know, they're if you have like, you know, these beautiful feathers and you attract these different mates. Well, I think we're really creating our own identity online, and I think that is an interesting thing. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's bad. It's something that I've been observing kind of with a outside perspective as I've been branding myself within a social space. Because I think that's important. The social media, as you know, the modern day internet has only been around, I would say, for maybe 10 years. Since maybe about 2006, 2007. I think I got my first Facebook in 2007. And so I think it's good to keep an open mind of how we're using the technologies, how they're affecting us, and how they are changing the way that we're interacting with different individuals. And just as an example, in the drone racing space, I race drones. We put on goggles, we sit in the drone, and we race around a course. And in that community, everyone has an online presence. So when there started to be like races that would show up, we would kind of run into people and there would just kind of be this, you know, we'd nod at each other and be like, I know who you are. And we'd just start from like we were friends for months. So the digital landscape is changing. It's making the world, I think, really a smaller place. And I just think that we need to stay alert to the fact that this is new. It's a new psychology, and I think we need to use it in moderation.
Wow, you unpacked a lot of great. I don't even know where to go from there. We could just end it right now. No, but you know, we were talking about like the trend that's going on with social media and like these reality TV shows that pop up, like people and personality brands and how they are very strong and they have our attention. Like, I mean, just like offshoot example, like today I was seeing this guy on in New York on Snapchat tell this story like I've never seen someone tell on Snapchat before. And like, that's what we're in, is the story game. Like, whoever has the best story wins. And so it's like, that's a skill, like
right.
Pattern recognition.
Right, but also I think that having the best story is making people create the story rather than live and just tell their authentic story. And I always have this kind of double look at social media, and I always need to ground myself in the fact that it really is an amazing thing. I just can't help but playing devil's advocate sometimes.
As far as, like, there's a downside to it? Like, what do you mean? Explain
yeah.
on
so,
that.
So I kind of thought of this term that's I call it premeditated social narcissism. So what I describe that as is,
because social media is making us all more narcissistic. Is that the case?
Right, but we're premeditating things. We are planning things for social media, and so that's what premeditated social narcissism is. Meaning, I will go and do this so that I can take a picture or a video and I can share it. And I think that when you do that, that it takes away from the authenticity of that experience that you're having.
Like, because psychopaths do that. They are aggressive narcissists. You know, I was listening to this podcast about Charles Manson. He had people, this cult leader, kill other people for him. he was that strong of a personality.
Right, and I think it's personality. He also used a few different types of entheogens, a lot of different chemical substances that alter the state of the brain. And people get into a very vulnerable spot when they take those types of substances. And he was probably grounded and rooted enough in himself that he understood how their brains work under these types of psychoactive chemicals. And I think in the case of Charles Manson, it's a really unfortunate thing.
Well, and it doesn't help like that he had a mother who basically abandoned him, a very traumatic childhood. And you look at this, recent Las Vegas shooter, and like his dad was FBI's most wanted for a decade or so. And that could not have helped him, in his development. And so it's like these childhood traumatic experiences that like you see these devastations happen. Like there's this YouTuber I follow, Stefan Molyneux, and he talks about, he says like men are accused for being violent and causing wars. 90% of violence comes from men, but don't discount or discredit the violence that women, have an effect on them, like their children, like child abuse, that can like have a ripple effect years on out.
Right. Right. But I also think that the mother and the father, it models, their relationship. If it gets to that point, I lost where I was going on that one.
Well, yeah, like men,
So I was going to say that, in terms of men and masculinity and wars, I think that in the time right now in 2017, I think that there's a big move, big rise of what I like to call the sacred feminine. I think that men over the last, a couple hundred years.
Is that a liberal thing? Feminism? Or what is, are you talking about feminism?
Right, I'm not necessarily talking about feminism. I'm talking about male's ability to feel in tune with their emotional side and not just turn that emotion into anger or any other types of maybe destructive feelings. I think that men are just generally taught to be strong and, you need to not cry and you need to, be there for other people. And well, of course you need to be there for other people. You need to make sure that you are in a good spot first.
Right. Emotional men, like, which reminds me of this recent video of this football player who like broke his ankle or something this past Sunday. And like, he was crying. He was put on a stretcher and there's this famous video of like one of his teammates just like holding him while he's crying. And the tweet was like, men are emotional too. Like, don't discount that. And so we're talking about like, men, female, kind of the role gender plays in development and the evolution, of technology, philosophy. So Trent, like, what are you, because I know you're in like kind of, you're getting into a new season. Like what are you paying attention to now as far as like what's important? There's so much out there. What does Trent Sigurd, what is the most valuable to his time?
I mean, I think the first thing is relationships, first and foremost. If you don't have a good community, then you're really rooted in nothing. And, that's why I'm really thankful that I moved out here and, we can start seeing each other more. I think that relationships are important. I think that I'm in a time where, I need to focus on what I need and what I want. And I found what I wanted to do very young. I was 13. I started photography, and it's evolved immensely since then. I definitely wouldn't call myself a photographer these days.
How about cinematographer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a creator. I create things, whether it be products, videos, photos, experiences. I create things. And so just focusing on creating more things.
Yeah. And like YouTube calls their people creators, like YouTube creators. And like, I opened up a Patreon which is like a tool for us creatives. Like, have you looked at, like, do you think you'll do Patreon or?
I maybe won't do Patreon unless that kind of is the natural way that things go, if an audience asks for Patreon. However, I've seen people be really successful on Patreon. I actually applied to do video for this YouTube show called Sailing La Vagabond. So this couple who've been sailing around the world for the last 3 years, the girl in the relationship, she started filming her adventures just to show her family and putting them on YouTube, and a following showed up. They just got a brand deal with a company that makes catamarans. So they got a brand new $1 million catamaran at a great deal. And they make at least $9,000 a month just off Patreon. And what they do, so the model of Patreon is it's ask for stuff and then you give back, whether it be original content that only Patreon see or whatnot. So what they do is they invite people onto their boat. So they will organize a trip with
like
their Patreon.
Yeah.
Right. They'll say, what port are you going to be at? And then, yeah, they'll pick them up, and that's how they repay their Patreon supporters, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, like Patreon, it's like this new way, this new business model, and like patrons have always been around, but like, you know, even with like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, like business models are changing, and like we're seeing more of this give model, like, you know, even like with Puerto Rico happening recently, like what can we do to help? Like what kind of businesses do we go to that support also good? Like Tom's is really like the splash in the water as far as social good in business. And there's been all these like ripple effects. But as far as like, you know, Patreon or, you know, but it's like what the opportunity like is, it's great. Like YouTube, creating videos. Like I've been watching my minutes rise. Minutes watched is like the number one metric they like. And, you know, I'm like, it's not like a lot, like 1,000 minutes to somebody might not seem like a lot. But I mean, to me, like 1,000 minutes of people's time, the most valuable resource we have is being used. And like, I think used for good. And so like, it's kind of a cool feeling. And obviously like, you know, your friends like getting paid $10,000 a month, and like I've seen some people like $30,000 a month, like that's like a top. But you know, there's obviously, and now like this cryptocurrency has stepped onto the stage, and you know, this new wave of, but you know, social media, it's like different ways of making money. But as long as like you create it around like the way you envision it, right? Like your lifestyle, like what you like, what you're skilled at, what you can bring. And this is what something we said offline is like, yeah, I might like this video that I'm doing, or I think it might get shared a lot. But and then all of a sudden there's a random other video. It's like the market decides, right? Mm-hmm. Like the market, it doesn't care about your feelings. Like it's, the market will choose. Apple is going to be bought, iPhone, lots of phones.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think that as an artist who does many different types of creation, a lot of the times that I've seen things happen, things go viral, it's when you're not expecting it. And when you're really just making something because you feel like it's cool, or you feel like it's just something you want to bring into the world. And so, yeah, most of the time I feel like the intention isn't even, you know, I want to make $1 million. The intention is I just made this and I want to share it, and then other people connect with that.
Right. Like you sending out your own signal, you know, and then seeing like your own smoke signal, and like seeing who gathers around it and like agrees, or like, as you said, is in the same boat or same wolf pack. Like, so Trent, like you're really great at, I would say, the visual aspect, and which is like a real key skill now with, you know, video and seeking the trend and like pattern recognition. So, and I don't want to like keep you here on the podcast forever. We could probably do multiple different shows or episodes with different lengths. We're just out here on the porch, and it's a nice night. It's not like the warmest of nights. It's not the coldest. There was this crazy wind yesterday morning, but I got to say, like, in general, weather is really nice in Ventura County. I'm from Nashville, so I know there's a difference between Southern California and Four Seasons. But Trent, you know, I think just to kind of maybe even wrap it up, and we can talk about more things like more often down more, but, you know, to kind of wrap up this big idea, like, what would you say is important for us to do, so, like, practical tips? Like, what would you say, like, You're in visual, you're in video, you're in drone photography, you're in, you know, entertainment, education. What are some just real down-to-earth practical tips that we can use to better ourselves, like, you know, starting tonight or tomorrow? What would you say is important?
Right. So I'd say the first thing that's important to me is just be grounded in yourself. And know what you want and what outcomes you want out of the things that you're doing. I think that that's almost the most important thing. I think that we need to put our phones down a little bit. I think we need to, when we're on social media, take a back seat to our monkey mind that wants to consume and understand why it wants to consume. And what you're feeling when you do consume different types of things. And through mapping that, one, you'll have a greater understanding of yourself. But two, if you're also interested in marketing, you get a greater understanding of how to market to people like yourself. We are both, Joe, we're both very young people, and I think that if we know how to market to ourselves, we know how to market to the masses.
I like that. Like, you know, and we are like millennials, and there's nothing wrong with like marketing to younger or older. You know, age, I really don't like people who are ageist, or like ageism is a real thing. Like, it matters, you know, as if it matters how old you are or whatever. But like, you know, there's a way to appeal your product, you know, or your service, and you got to fight for attention for it. You know, like, just two random examples I was thinking of is like Mashable or Cheddar. Like, in the way that they create these watermark videos on Twitter, like, I like it, you know? And so we can take example from the things that we like and build. And I like to say, like, we're either building or we're begging, you know, right. There's two options. And so we're building a lot, and we're building strategically, because there's a difference between working hard and working smart. We like to work smart. The top 10 men own like 90% of the wealth of the world, or some crazy thing like that. And so it's not like, oh, I need to work more hours in, you know, collecting more soda cans. Like, the free market is an IQ test. Like, that's what I believe. Like,
or even, I think at this point, an EQ test. It's the emotional intelligence. And that's really what marketers are playing off of, is the emotional intelligence of people. If you can make people feel something, if they're not very grounded in their emotions and their emotions kind of shift all the time, then you can play off that.
Like, Star Wars is a $4 billion franchise story emotion, you know. And, I mean, talk about fantasy. Talk about emotional intelligence like you're talking about. Like, and so I don't want to, like, get into left or right-ism, but I do like the idea of the free market and a government that doesn't interfere with freedom, you know. Do you have any, like, thoughts on that? Like, I don't call myself a Democrat or a Republican. I call myself
a human being. That is a part of the world who is brothers and sisters with everyone from every piece of land all over the world. Like, we are all one singular thing. You know, when I was young, I used to say that we all worked in this instance. I used the words God to describe the creating source, that we all worked with God and we all created a part of the earth. And then we come down to earth and then we experience that contribution that we made in the creation of the world. And I think that we are given the world to experience and to live in and to follow our desires ruthlessly.
Yeah. And like you're talking about creation, like, I don't know if we really have the true answer of like how they built the pyramids or like, you know, even like how we got here at Stonehenge, like these magnificent mysteries that remain today. And yet we're not always like thinking about like how we got here. You know, there's a difference between being past oriented, where you're focused on what happened in the past, even if it was like less than 10 years ago. And then there's like present and future oriented, like you're living in now and you're going to throw the ball where the receiver will be, not where he was or is, but where he will be. So, you know, timing. And so I like to think about now, and I like to think about the future. I like to think about science fiction as an art form, as an illustration of like what could be fantasy, you know, like Dyson spheres, like the Kardashev scale, which like describes like how we'll, you know, get out to the galaxy, which is unfortunately probably not in our lifetime. Like we'll probably see Mars. And by the way, I've seen this trend of, we used to, like, 1940s was big toy time, tanks, planes, and then we got into technology time, like 90s and internet. I'm sort of seeing a reoccurrence of big toy trend. Maybe you see it differently or not, but like 10 years from now, like taking a flight in less than an hour with a rocket, right? Toy time.
Yeah, big boy toys. I mean, we got to make money so that we can do what we want to do in our biggest dreams. And I'm glad that we have, you know, visionary people in the world who want to take us to Mars and get us off of the fossil fuels and who are doing so ruthlessly and who are almost challenging governments. Like, hey, I will put energy on all of Puerto Rico. I mean, you got to pay for it, but I'll do it. And it'll all be self-sufficient. And I think that those are the kind of courageous people that we need. And I think that are being created if you separate yourself from the social media, grounded in who you are, and know what you want, know how you want to help the world.
Right. And if there is life on Mars, because otherwise, I mean, it's like getting excited for like an expedition to Antarctica. Like, there's not much there. I mean, we could probably learn some science cool things, and we do need people with vision, but it's not to put anyone up on a pedestal too high. You know, it's like there's this quote, like, if you follow closely too much your heroes, you'll also start to like have their flaws. Like nobody is perfect, you know? And so it's not to put anyone, even if you have heroes, it's okay to like have heroes or have mentors or advisors. And I think that's good. But also, like,
having a sense of identity in yourself, you know, knowing who you are as a person, what your desires are, and ultimately where you want to go.
I don't know if anyone can say it better than you, Trent, like, identity, you know, like, who are you, you know, like, yeah, this is probably what you do, yeah, this is probably where you came from.
That's my favorite thing, is when I'm talking to people. You know, I'll be like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I work at this place. Like, I'm a cashier. No, 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 no. What do you do? Do you like to read? Do you draw? Do you do photography? Like, what do you do when you spend time that you want to spend, you know, that you want to spend?
Like, who are you? What's your identity? And maybe, like, you're going through a recreation of, like, your identity. And, like, we all are. Like, our identity is evolving, and who we are today is not who we were 10 years from yet ago. And like, that's okay. Like, it's like we're a song, and the song changes and, you know, changes melodies. But by the way, there was this funny twist. So like, if you are on hold online for a company, wouldn't it be great if we could
talk to the other people? Of course. I want to hear the music.
See, this is like a tension. This is like...
Well, and we're also getting to a bigger thing, which is someone posted that. Was it Ty? I think it was Ty.
John Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer posted that. I saw other friends like it in the Twitter feed, but there's also this it's not a concept, it's not a theory, it's happening. Like, there's this stuff happening where we are all aware of the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is good and bad. It's great, you know, like for instance, when I would go to a party with people I haven't seen in a while, it's the same conversation over and over. Oh, you're back from China. Oh, what are you doing? You're flying drones. Oh, you're racing drones. Okay, yeah, cool. Literally the same conversation with all these different people. And it's not very in-depth, but it's because I share my life at a frequency that people can watch and keep up with. But that also creates this inherent knowledge of what each other is doing. So I think that we're not conversing as much in person, but we still have the base understanding of what we would have communicated before just from the perspective that we've posted on social media.
Yeah. Like what you were saying, like something popped in my head, like which Neil deGrasse Tyson, the scientist, gave this interview with like one of the Twitter creators. And he was saying like Twitter is like this bird area where like you can flock with people who share the same idea. And then you separate and then you go your own route and you have your own ideas. And then you can retweet and then get back together with everyone who you think. And
I also think what's more important also than just being around people who you connect with is also engaging with people you don't connect with. And I've been listening to this podcast. It's actually called Conversations with People Who Hate Me,
yeah,
from Dylan Marin. I think that Dylan is really doing a great job of starting that conversation. He's for those of you who don't know, he's
like a liberal, right? Like kind of far left. I heard the first podcast. He was talking about someone who's very conservative.
Right.
And it's not about that, right? It's not about liberal. It's about...
it's about finding common traits within one another. And really what it comes down to is he asks if the person hates them at the end of the conversation, and it's really always no. Once you actually talk to someone in person, you know, you have a different... or not even in person, just over the phone, you have a different level of compassion for that person than you do when you're on a keyboard and you don't necessarily know if that person's going to read it or not. But you say something that makes, you know, you want to feel good. So
like it just brings things down to a human level. Like even if you disagree with somebody, but there is also that part that says like, if you're not getting any hate, then you're probably not popping. Right. Like
you're not standing for anything. If you're too flexible and you don't know where you stand on a lot of issues, then
yeah.
You know, I think that people realize.
Like, for example, like right when this Las Vegas shooting went down, I posted this tweet. There's this video game, Call of Duty 2, and you do this, like, airport massacre. And I posted something about that. And then people – I had, like, 4 or 5 tweets that people were like, dude, you faggot, take this down. Like, you suck. Like, hate tweets. And they were just – it didn't matter to me because, like, Twitter kind of has a way of hiding stuff. And you have to press show. And so it's like little flies. That's just like the first thing that popped in my mind when this thing happened. But I could see if you're on a much bigger platform and you're a much higher celebrity or whatever, you get hate or whatever. You're standing for something and you're not going to be received by everybody.
Well, I think you have to, especially if you have a platform, you have an obligation and a responsibility to uphold your values and to communicate that to your audience, because we're not here to agree with each other all the time. We're here to have tough conversations and change people's minds. I mean, we're not going to change the world by deleting people who disagree with you off Facebook. You know, I think that getting them in person is really the key.
Yeah. Like, cause there's a lot more that goes into body language and like eye contact. And there's this YouTube channel called Bombard's Body Language or something. And all she does is just like analyze, you know, Trump's body language or something. It's kind of entertaining, but, anyway, you know, like in wrapping this up, and we'll probably do more stuff, Trent, with episodes and stuff, but you know, this is a fun time talking. We could just talk forever, really. Mm-hmm. But you know, people's time is precious and I want to respect
maybe,
that.
Maybe in the next ones we can be more narrow focused on one topic.
Yeah, no, but what's great is like you and I are so, we're generals in the way like we have
an army, we've got the number.
No, yeah, there's that. But we have knowledge in a wide variety of subjects, you know?
Right.
Like Trent Sigurd Brand, Joe Strandell Brand. We have a certain intelligence that I appreciate talking with friends like you, and you know, and sometimes I think we meet people who are like the fuel to our engine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's great. So like Twitter's been my tool recently. I don't know if are you on Twitter? Like what's kind of like best way people like get in touch with you?
Yeah. Twitter's where all my empty thoughts go. Don't go to follow me on Twitter. my name's Trent Sigurd. I'm trying to get everything back under Trent Sigurd. I've been doing drones under Quadcopter Guy. But yeah, Trent Sigurd, you can look me up. You'll find me. You'll find different content. Yeah.
Yeah, Trent Sigurd, Quadcopter Guy, drone operator, cinematographer, photographer, lifestyle storyteller, all around great entrepreneur. I'd recommend, great friend. Follow him. Find him on the different social media platforms.
And where can they find you?
Well, Joe Strandell, you're obviously probably listening, hopefully, to Anchor, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Twitter. Really, I'm on all the different platforms, but even they come in waves.
Right.
Like, attention lately has been for me, because I'm just, like, I mean, you know, Trump's been crazy with his tweets. Like, a lot of people who I respect, I'm not saying Trump I respect, but like people use Twitter, you know? And so some people get like thousands of retweets and hundreds of thousands of likes or whatever. And I'm just like, you've got to fight for that. Like, you've got to have something of value, to compete with this kind of noisy world or whatever. So I've been on Twitter lately. And by the way, just a little practical thing I've found, and then I'll hang it up. Twitter, when you're finding on trending stories, if you know something of value and you attach it to a hot tweet, you can get a lot of impressions. Like, this is what I found with Vegas shooting and Star Wars announcement last night. Like, I just attached somebody else's tweet to a tweet, and then, like, it gets tens of thousands of impressions. And then some of these people, like, followed me on Snapchat, and then I've been seeing them over and over again. So you got to, like, hack your way into, you know, you're not born in with a silver spoon in your hand. Like, we're entrepreneurs. Like, we follow people, a lot of people, some of these people, and Facebook Watch is now this emerging thing. And they're just using, like, reality shows, you know? And, like, this is kind of a new genre or a new branch of media, is, like, these type of personal reality shows. So, anyway, I'm just going off on a tangent. What I'm saying is follow Trent. Get him on Twitter, all the social medias, and also me, and we'll probably do more. If you like this show, please leave a comment. Let me know what you think. Reach out to Trent. Subscribe to the different platforms, YouTube, Twitter, and share with us what you think about storytelling, social media, marketing, you know.
Human connection.
Relationships. And we will be in touch with you guys. We'll grow this show. I'm on Patreon. I don't know if you are. But with Patreon, that is one tool I think we can build more with. And I'm on it. Hope to see you there. And I'll talk to you guys soon. All right.